Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20. Now, the verse has some very practical parts to it. The verse also has some very good spiritual application to it. So we want to read this and pay careful attention to it. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20 says, "There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up." There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. Now, the practical application of this verse is very plain. It's very easy to see right away in the verse how you can apply this practically to your life. A wise man will save something of what he makes. He won't spend it all. He won't recklessly spend it on houses and cars and boats and recreation and consumer goods. He'll take care of the Lord's tithes and offerings. The Bible says God loveth a cheerful giver, and he'll be a cheerful giver. But he'll show some restraint with the rest and keep a little back for when things are tight or for when he can't work. He'll have treasure. See, the Bible says, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. He'll have treasure and he'll have oil. Now, the treasure, money. You know, he'll save up something so that he'll be able to support himself if he ever has an interruption in his income, either through a temporary need where he has to stop working or through something that's, you know, permanent. He's retired or whatever. He'll have some laid back. And he'll have oil. And this isn't oil like produced out of an oil well, but oil like olive oil. Have something to eat. You know, there was a time when Elijah was told, you know, he went ahead and stopped the water, and then he was told to go over to the brook and drink the water, and the ravens fed him. And then after that, he went to a widow woman of Zarephath, and she took care of him. Well, all she had was a barrel of meal and a cruse of oil, and God kept enough oil and enough meal in that barrel so that she could feed herself and her son and Elijah. So that's a very necessary staple, that oil. All right, something to eat. There was another widow, and when her husband died, the creditors came to take her sons. And as it turns out, she went and borrowed a bunch of vessels from her friends. And then she closed herself up in the house and she began to pour oil out of a cruse into these other containers and fill them and fill them and fill them until she ran out of containers. She didn't run out of oil. And then she sold the oil to pay off the creditors, and she was left with enough oil so that she would have plenty to eat and plenty to feed her sons. That's a great miracle showing God's care. But don't put your family in jeopardy by leaving them in debt and spending every nickel you make. That's what a foolish man does. He spends it up. You see what the Bible says there. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. And that's what's going on in the United States today. It's going to be bad trouble when things slow down. And that really is just a matter of time. So what's going on? The very easy practical application of this verse is you have to be wise about the money that you make. You have got to show some restraint and not just go spend everything that you make. And there are people that do that. I mean, they have a little bit. They're faithful to give a tithe to the Lord. You know, they'll do that. And then they go out to eat and spend all of that money on the restaurants and spend all that money on things they don't really need. I mean, they say they need them. We always say we need the things that we get. You don't really need those things. I mean, you know, if you've got food and you've got clothing, you've got all you need. Having food and raiment, be content therewith. You know, that's what you need. But beyond that, a lot of the things that we possess, we don't need. I've got that same problem just like you do. But a wise man will show some restraint when it comes to buying these things so that he doesn't end up with just a bunch of stuff. And he's got some money laid back at a time when he's going to need what he needs. I mean, Americans, you know, we've got a house, then we have a second home. We got a car, and then we got another car, and another car maybe. And then we live in an area where we want to recreate, so we got a boat or several boats. And then, of course, we have all these other things that we need for our recreation because, after all, we work hard, and so we've got to have a place and a time to be able to enjoy some refreshment. And then we have a house full of consumer goods that we go and buy at all the various types of stores. And all that Solomon is telling you and all that Solomon is telling me is show some restraint when it comes to these other things by saving back some treasure and some oil in your dwelling so that if you have an interruption in your ability to work and provide an income for your family, you won't starve to death. Okay, now there's another practical application here. And this applies not just to us individually, but it applies to us in the United States as to the whole country, where the country is our dwelling. And if we as a country of citizens, a nation of citizens, were wise, you'd be able to find treasure and oil here. But that's not the case. Instead, what you find in the United States of America is $8 trillion of national debt and more than 50% dependency on foreign oil, and neither one of those is showing any sign of letting up. You know what that is? We're showing ourselves to be a foolish nation, spending up our reserves. That's foolishness. You know, recently I did a study in Proverbs. I think it was on Proverbs chapter 20 in verse 15, I believe, where we studied about gold and a multitude of rubies, but then showed that the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. And there when we looked at gold, we discovered that if you take all the gold that's been produced, the going rate, you know, just per ounce of the gold would indicate to you that the total production of gold was around $2 trillion. That's one-fourth of our national debt. You know, we used to be on the gold standard in this country, and we're not. We used to be on the silver standard. We had silver certificates. We're not. We just have a paper currency, and really, we can print as much as we want. The Federal Reserve has that right, and a lot of money has been added to the economy, which continues to support it at the level that we're seeing. But every time that happens, the price of everything goes up. So $8 trillion of national debt, more than 50% dependency on foreign oil. The country doesn't show any restraint in either case. America spends, now this information I'm getting ready to give you is not original with me. I got this from the Natural Resources Defense Council. And you can go to their website and you can see all that you need to see about our dependency on foreign oil. America spends more than $200,000 per minute on foreign oil, $13 million per hour. More than $25 billion a year goes for Persian Gulf imports alone. And the National Resources Defense Council analysis considers oil demand and supply projections and how our current policy of oil dependency affects our economy and security. So while domestic oil production peaked in the 1970s, consumption continues to grow at breakneck speed. In 2025, the United States is projected to consume 28.3 million barrels of oil per day, 44% more oil than we do today, with domestic production meeting a mere 30% of that need. You know what that shows? That shows we're a foolish nation of spenders. We're spinning it up. We're spinning it up. And that's reckless, where don't show any restraint. And of course, if we do show restraint, it's going to affect the economy. If people, I understand, if people are to save more money now than we were, then consumer spending would decline, and we would be spending less on new homes. As a result, consumer spending would decline, thus slowing down the economy, and the consumer purchases of homes would decline, thus softening the housing market. And the trouble is there that many Americans have borrowed against the equity in their homes as the equity in their homes has increased. So if the housing bubble bursts and things slow down, I've noticed in our own neighborhood that it's, you know, houses are staying on the market longer now than they used to, and houses are having to, what are they having to do? They're having to reduce the prices in order to attract the buyers, and so the values of the homes are going down. Well, if you've borrowed a tremendous amount of money against the increased equity of your home because there was a housing boom, then, you know, where there was an increase in the price of your house, you may find yourself in a situation where not only all of your equity is wiped out, but also now you actually owe more money than your house is worth. And if you get into a shape like that, that's going to be a bad deal is what it's going to be. Now, when we were in that case before in the 1980s, many banks had to write down the value of their loans on their books, and literally it wiped out their capital accounts, and many banks were sold to other banks just to strengthen the capital. That hadn't been but 20 years ago, and we'd be facing the same kind of thing again, but even worse 20 years later here in the United States, and that's because, practically speaking, in the United States, we've demonstrated ourselves to be very foolish in that we don't have treasure in our dwelling and oil in our dwelling. We literally have to go outside of this country to bring it in. All right, now, there is a beautiful spiritual application to these verses. Look at this thing again. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20 says, "There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up." All right, now, think of it in terms of the spiritual application to our dwelling. You know where our future home is? Our dwelling place permanently is heaven. As a matter of fact, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, we've already been raised together to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. That's the way the song goes. Now, we have a future dwelling place, and that dwelling place is heaven. Jesus Christ said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So our future dwelling place is heaven, more specifically, New Jerusalem, as described in Revelation chapter 21. Streets of gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearl, all that beautiful, beautiful up there, just beautiful. That's where we're supposed to be. And you know what? We are, according to the Bible, supposed to be laying up treasure in heaven. Matthew chapter 6 is just one place where you see this, but you see it very clearly. Matthew chapter 6 in verses 20 and 21. Look what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 6, verse 20. The Bible says, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So according to the Bible, we are to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. He says in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. So when you think about the practical application, you only need to save up a little bit to take care of what you need. You don't need to have the accumulation of a great deal of wealth down here. You're going to leave it anyway. No U-Haul trailers attached to the hearses. You know about that. But in our future dwelling place, we're to lay up treasure for ourselves. All right. Well, how are you going to look at that? Well, today people talk about investments and return on investments. You hear a lot about it. You read about it in the newspaper. You see it on the television. You may even have a financial planner or a financial counselor that's giving you specific information on how you need to do that. You may have IRAs and 401k plans and, you know, all kinds of things set up for yourself. I don't know what you've done, but those things will take you through temporarily, and they'll take you through until you die. In other words, there's a good purpose for them, but a limited purpose for them. The other place to lay up treasure for yourself, and the right place to lay up treasure for yourself permanently, is in heaven. So, as you give to the Lord's work, you are laying up treasure for yourselves in heaven. So I often think of it, in our family's case, I often think that when I've done something for the Lord, I think of it in terms of making an investment for the future, because I'm laying it up on the other side, see? And I know that in our own lives over time, we could have done a lot more than we have done to take care of ourselves down here in the future. But instead, what we've done is that we've decided that we wanted to do more for the Lord's work. And so our financial contributions for the future have gone toward eternal things and not toward temporal things, because we're laying it up on the other side. In other words, whenever you contribute to the Lord's work, not only are you taking care of the necessity of the saint that you contributed to here, but you're also making an investment for your future hereafter. In our future dwelling place, there is treasure, you see. Treasure to be desired in the dwelling of the wise. It's there. At the judgment seat of Christ, you are entitled to receive a reward of gold, silver, and precious stones. And you should be able to get that as the result of your work for the Lord Jesus Christ. And a wise man will have a reward, because he'll be doing things for the glory of God that will yield gold, silver, and precious stones for him later on. A man will have that in heaven. But you know what will happen? A fool will spin it up by doing everything for himself down here and not for the glory of God. He won't have treasure in heaven, and everything that passes through the fire at the judgment seat of Christ will burn up like wood, hay, and stubble. I remember Adrian Rogers was doing a series on the radio concerning the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in one of those broadcasts, he was teaching on the judgment seat of Christ, and he did it by preaching on Lot. You see, Lot lived in Sodom, and the angels visited him there and visited his family there and told him he needed to get out because everything was burning up. So he got out, and his wife got out, and two of his daughters got out. His wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt, and he got out with his daughters. He lost everything in the fire of Sodom because he wasted his living by basically accumulating all of his treasure down here. And Pastor Rogers went on to say, he said, listen, I know that many of you believe that you're happy that you got saved and you don't care whether you get a reward or not. He said, but I'll tell you something. If you were driving home from work and when you turned onto your street heading toward your house, you noticed that there were fire trucks down on your end of the block, immediately you would accelerate thinking, oh my gosh, this may be my house. And then when you get up there and notice, in fact, that it is your house and it's going up in smoke, don't tell me you won't shed a tear. For the heirlooms that are burning up inside of that house, for all the special memories that are burning up inside of your house, for the treasures that are burning up inside of your house, and for the loss of your home itself. You will weep over that loss, and you will weep at the judgment seat of Christ over the loss of treasure that you could have had that burns up in the fire because you spent all your life down here living for yourself and not living for Christ. That's, man, I'll tell you, that was a powerful sermon that he preached that day. I remember that. And I see the picture very, very clearly. That is so true of Christians today. Everything is for themselves down here, nothing for God later. They're simply glad to have their salvation and are not concerned to do the least thing for Christ and for the future. And when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, you find up that your whole thing is going to burn in the wood, hay, and stubble, and no gold, no silver, and no precious stones will survive the fire. It's a foolish man that'll spend it up down here, living for himself here. And you know something? There are a number of Christians that are doing that because everything today that's new about Christianity, I mean, for the most part, is dealing with self-help stuff. It's all about you and how to get along better with your wife and how to get along better with your kids and how to get along better at work and how to get along better with your pastor and how to get along better with your friends and how to get along better at church. And I mean, you know, man, it's just so much about you, about the individual. It's so little about eternity, so little about working for Christ and laying up for the other side. Man, I'm telling you, we need to witness. We need to see people saved. There's your precious stones. We need to do everything that we do to the glory of God. That's your gold. We need to speak of the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's your silver. That stuff won't burn. That's treasure on the other side. Both your financial gifts and your work for Christ, lay it up for you on the other side. That's what a wise man will do, and there'll be treasure in his dwelling. All right, then there's another spiritual application here. And it has to do with the oil that's in this text. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. And the application here is very simply that oil in the Bible is a type of the Holy Spirit. You'll see that in places like 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, that's David, in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. See, the Spirit of the Lord came on him when the oil anointed him. And there are other places, but oil typifies the Holy Spirit. So we are commanded in the Bible, according to Ephesians 5:18, we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit of God. And when you read in the book of Acts, you see there where the disciples prayed and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they began to preach the Word of God with boldness. We're commanded to be filled with the Spirit of God. But you know what will happen? A foolish man will, in type, spend it up. How? By grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit. If you look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, you'll see where there's the mention of grieving the Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 4, and look at verse 30. The Bible says, grieve not, Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, how are you going to grieve him? Well, Ephesians 4 is full of it. You're going to grieve him by being angry and sinning. You're going to be angry by letting the sun go down upon your wrath. You're going to grieve him by giving place to the devil. You're going to grieve him by stealing, like stealing glory from God. You're going to grieve him by not working with your hands. You're going to grieve him by letting corrupt communication come out of your mouth. You are going to grieve him by letting bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and malice control you. You're going to grieve him by not being tenderhearted, by not being kind to one another, and by not forgiving. And when you grieve the Holy Spirit of God, it is in type like this oil that's supposed to be in your dwelling is gone. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You can also quench him according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. And when you quench him by not rejoicing evermore, by not praying, by not giving thanks, by despising prophesying, by not proving all things, by not abstaining from all appearance of evil. That's how you quench him. And listen, listen, everything we do, we are to do by being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And when we're not filled with the Spirit of God, then it's like you can't find oil in the dwelling. I realize that when you get saved, you've got the Holy Spirit. I realize that. But when you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, it's like he's not there. He is there, but it's like he's not there. He's grieved. He's quenched. He's not working in your life. And to do that is foolish. Listen, it's hard enough trying to live the Christian life while filled with the Spirit of God. It is impossible to live the Christian life when you quench and grieve the Spirit of God. And so, it is very important for you and I to yield to the work of the Spirit of God in our lives so that you can find the oil in our dwelling place. And there are your applications for Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20. First of all, practically speaking, be a wise man, and while you're very generous toward the Lord and his work, also be wise enough to restrain your spending habits so that you can save a little money. And don't leave your family in debt, spending every nickel you make and more than that. Okay? And then pray for our country, that our country will learn a financial, fiscal responsibility that will stop this surging, rising debt. I don't think this is going to happen, but I'm going to ask the Lord to help us anyway, and stop this massive consumption of oil that keeps us so dependent on foreign oil. Spiritually speaking, lay up treasure for yourself on the other side so that there will be treasure in your dwelling when you get to heaven. Do that by serving the Lord Jesus Christ so that you have something to show at the judgment seat of Christ, and do that by being generous toward the Lord's work with your money. And then you are to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, which would be a picture of oil in your dwelling, and don't end type spend it up by living so much for yourself and not living under the leadership of the Spirit of God. And I pray these practical and spiritual applications have been a blessing to you, and I pray that they will strengthen you in your walk for the Lord Jesus Christ and leave you with something as a wise man with treasure and oil in your dwelling.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.